All right, a pleasure to be back with you. Bob Kendrick joins us. He is the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City. He's a host of a fabulous podcast on Apple Podcasts. I listen to him on Sirius, and I love having him on the show, and he's been out to the Bay Area before, a good friend of Murph. And Bob Kendrick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Marty, I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we love having you on. It's always a pleasure and very special. First of all, tell me about the podcast. I caught it last week. It was terrific and talked a lot about Larry Doby, which we're going to talk about tonight. So tell us about the podcast.
Yeah, new podcast that I do in partnership with my friends over at SiriusXM Radio. It's called Black Diamond, Story of the Negro Leagues. And we launched this in April. And to be honest, I am surprised but excited about the reaction from fans really all over the world about this podcast and hearing some of these stories for the very first time. And, you know, I just delight in sharing many of the stories that I was blessed to hear from the likes of Buck O'Neill and Monty Irvin, Minnie Minoso, and others, you know, through these years of working at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Well, I'm glad to say that I interviewed all of them. But I really enjoyed the last broadcast, the last podcast that, and we haven't had a chance to mention it, our good friend Mudcat Grant passed away, and you really did a beautiful podcast on Mudcat and had a lot of tape from him. Please comment on Mudcat Grant.
Well, he was, number one, a dear friend of mine and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and you'll hear me mention the name Buck O'Neill a lot because Buck is typically the bond that unites so many of these legends that I've gotten to meet. I got to meet them through the legendary Buck O'Neill, and Buck, of course, passed away 15 years ago, but we've maintained relationships with so many of these guys who are still with us, and so we're naturally very saddened by the passing of Mudcat Grant, who was a fixture at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum for so many, many years, and so I just really enjoyed my time around him. There are certain people, when they walk in the room lights up. Yeah. Mudcat was one of those.
No, I agree. Some of my favorite interviews were with Mudcat, and we played some a couple of weekends ago after his passing. Bob Kendrick is with us, Negro League Baseball Museum. He is the president. Well, every year I do this, and I commemorate the debut of the great Larry Doby in the American League, July 5th of 1947, just a few months after Jackie. But for some reason, Larry Doby isn't looked upon like Jackie was. And I love to bring that story to the public each year. And I'm glad for you to be here to tell us the background of Larry Doby and the Cleveland Indians, July 5th, 1947.
Yeah, you know, Larry Doby, as we say, Marty, is our Buzz Aldrin. You know, everybody remembers Neil Armstrong as first guy to walk on the moon. And Jackie Robinson's breaking of the color barrier, particularly in the African-American community, was equivalent to the first man landing on the moon. I mean, it was complete euphoria. But as you mentioned, Larry Doby would break the color barrier in the American League just several weeks later, and he's almost an afterthought. He's almost a forgotten man. And it's only been over the last decade or so that people really started to finally pay rightful tribute to this pioneer and trailblazer in Larry Doby. And so it is important that we don't forget his role, because quite frankly, Larry Doby went through just as much, some may even argue even more than Jackie, because Jackie was playing in Brooklyn, which was a major urban center, and really the national media was following Jackie. Larry Doby playing in Cleveland, while there certainly were a lot of black folks in Cleveland, not everybody was really paying very much attention. Larry Doby was 23 years old and was essentially thrown into a powder keg of racism at 23. He never played a single day in the minor leagues. He went straight from Effa Manley's Newark Eagles in the Negro Leagues over to Cleveland. And his reception when he got to Cleveland wasn't exactly with open arms. And so, no, he went through the same trials and tribulations that Jackie did, but that was the case really for all of those black pioneering baseball players who broke the color barrier with their respective major league teams, which is one of the reasons that we've opened a new exhibit at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum called Barrier Breakers, so that we could put a focal point on all of those guys who broke their respective major league teams' color barriers, from Jackie Robinson in 1947 with Brooklyn through Elijah Pumpsy Green being the last to integrate with the Boston Red Sox 12 years later.
Boy, it's great. Great to talk to you, Bob, and it's such important work that you've done. Why Cleveland for Larry Doby? What was the connection? Why Bill Veeck? How did it happen that it was in Cleveland?
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. Bill Veeck, because if you go back and look at the integration process in baseball, the American League was particularly slow to integrate. Bill Veeck, being the rebel that he was, he kind of shook things up. And he goes and signs Larry Doby away from the Newark Eagles. And even more so, and perhaps more importantly, he paid Effie Manley for Larry Doby. Because contrary to popular belief, Branch Rickey never paid the Kansas City Monarchs a dime for Jackie Robinson. He took Jackie Robinson away from the Kansas City Monarchs. And I actually think that was Branch Rickey's desire was to actually start to raid Negro League teams for their star players. To Bill Veeck's credit, he paid Effie Manley for Larry Doby. Now, his initial offer of $5,000 was essentially pittance, and Mrs. Manley kind of balked at it, but she also knew that she was not going to be able to fight off these major league teams once Jackie had broken the color barrier, or once Jackie had been signed and ultimately breaks the color barrier. And so she writes to Bill Veeck and says, essentially, if Larry Doby was white, he would be worth $100,000. Now, if you think $5,000 is fair, I guess I have no choice. Well, Bill Veeck ups the ante and pays an additional $5,000, and when Larry made the team, another $5,000. So he essentially got a Hall of Famer for $15,000. And so, but that did open the door for other Negro League owners to start selling their star players to the major leagues. But, man, these major league teams was getting this talent for pennies on the dollar. But Bill Veeck opens the door, and then the very next year, Bill Veeck signs the old man, Satchel Paige, and brings Satchel over to the Cleveland Indians. And they win the World Series in 1948 with Larry Doby and Satchel Paige. And so Bill Veeck is the only guy that would have given Satchel a chance. And so Bill Veeck was a pioneer in his own right. You know, he had wanted to buy the Philadelphia team early on, and when Kennesaw Mountain Landers caught wind that he was legitimately thinking about filling that team with black ball players from the Negro Leagues, they nixed the deal. And so Veeck was a little bit different. And so Bill Veeck is an important figure in this whole equation, and him reaching out and bringing Larry Doby, who was a significant talent, out of the Negro Leagues, opened that door again for others to move into Major League Baseball.
Mm. Boy, Bill Veeck, really with Effie Manley, it's a great story. And when I listened to the podcast about this story, you actually had audio from Effie Manley. I had never, ever in my life heard Effie Manley before. Now, Andrea Williams is going to be on next week to talk about the book that she wrote about Effie Manley. And we had Bob Luca on a few months ago to talk about Effie Manley, the strongest baseball woman in the world. But you actually had audio with Effie Manley. I loved it.
Yeah, no, and my friends over at Sirius was able to dig up that audio. And prior to that, I had not heard it. And so it was, you know, it made the podcast even more special to be able to have her voice. And as she's affectionately known in the Negro Leagues, or certainly in the Negro Leagues family, as the queen of the Negro Leagues. And she was truly a trailblazer in her own right. And so it was actually pretty special to have her voice be part of that show that we did on her and of course, Larry Doby.
Oh, it's fabulous. Well, Larry Doby becomes a Hall of Famer. He becomes the second African-American manager after Frank Robinson, if I'm not mistaken. And he is a very special part of American League Baseball for so many years. But that first year of 47, he basically doesn't play at all. And then just think, 1948, he's a center fielder and a world champion. So how about that?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I mean, you can imagine what it had to be like for these players walking into an environment where really no one wanted them to be there and having to try and play carrying not only that weight, but essentially the weight of an entire race of people on your shoulders. Because there was this inherent additional weight of having to succeed so that another black player might get an opportunity. And all of these guys felt that weight. And then, again, you're walking into an environment where really no one wanted you to be there. And because, number one, you had likely taken the job of a friend of one of those players. Because every time one of those black players came up, they took somebody's job. Mm-hmm. And see, I think fear had as much to do with wanting to keep these stars from the Negro Leagues out as anything, because we're looking now at self-preservation. If you allow this influx of black and brown talent in, I might lose my job. So I don't think that the superstar major leaguer was ever concerned about integration, but you can best believe that the average major leaguer was absolutely concerned about integration.
Well, Bob, great to have you on. I'm just so glad. We'll do more in the future, and I'll do more on Monday, July 5th, which is the actual date. But thank you so much, and be well, and we'll have you on again. Thanks, Bob.
Marty, my pleasure, man, and thank you for reflecting and remembering the legendary Larry Doby.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's my duty to do that. Thank you. All right. That is Bob Kendrick. All right. Bill has got the talk back. He's coming up. And don't forget about Bill with extra innings. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.